Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, this is teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, chapter 10, verse number 8. In this series of verses, Prahlad Maharaj is addressing the Lord, Lord Nrisimhadev. And the Lord is asking him if he wants to take different benefits or boons or benedictions. He's saying that I don't want anything. And the outline of this verse in the front of the Bhagavatam says, Krishna is the only master. Prahlad Maharaj said, Oh my Lord Nrisimhadev, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master. I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. There is one Ishvara, he's a master, Krishna. Everyone is servant. If we can realize this, then we'll be 100% Krishna conscious. We'll be living in the spiritual world. Prabhupada has a very beautiful purport to this verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivera Surupaya Krishnera Nityadas. Every living being is eternally a servant of the Lord, Supreme Lord, Krishna. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5-9, Bhaktaram Yagat Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. I am the proprietor of all planets, and I am the supreme enjoyer. This is the natural position of the Lord. So Krishna is telling Gita that he owns everything. I own all the planets. I am the supreme enjoyer. This is the natural position of the Lord. And the natural position of the living being is to surrender unto Krishna. Sarvadharman Prityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. If this relationship continues, then real happiness exists eternally between the master and the servant. Unfortunately, when this eternal relationship is disturbed, the living entity wants to become separately happy and thinks that the master is his order supplier. In this way, there cannot be happiness. Nor should the master cater to the desires of the servant. If he does, he is not the real master. The real master commands, you must do this. And the real servant immediately obeys the order. Unless this relationship between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entity is established, there can be no real happiness. The living entity is Ashraya, always subordinate, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vishai, the supreme objective, the goal of life. Unfortunate persons trapped in this material world do not know this. Na te vidu swarta gatim hi vishnam. This is another portion of a verse by Prahlad Maharaj. Illusioned by the material energy, everyone in this material world is unaware that the only aim of life is to approach Lord Vishnu. In Padma Puran, Shiva tells his wife Parvati, Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam param Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. The highest goal of life is to satisfy Vishnu, who can be satisfied only when his servant is satisfied. Mahaprabhu teaches Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayur Das Das Anudas. One must become a servant of the servant. Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Nrisimhadev that he might be engaged as a servant of the Lord's servant. This is the prescribed method of devotional service. As soon as the devotee wants the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his water supplier, the Lord immediately refuses to become the master of such a motivated devotee. In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord says, Yeyata mam prapadyante tamstateva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. Materialistic persons are generally inclined to material profits. As long as one continues in such an adulterated position, he does not receive the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. So this is the reply of Prahlad Maharaj to the Sringadeva's offering of boons, because he was very pleased with the behavior of Prahlad, his steadfastness, his determination, his staunch faith, his fearlessness, his attachment to the Lord, and his determination to preach the glories of the Lord despite the constant threats and death attacks of his father. He never stopped preaching the glories of the Lord. He never became fearful. And then he said, "Listen, this is, if you want to give me something, you give me this. Yadi dasyasi me kaman varam stam varadarshava kamanam ridya yasam roham bhavatas tu vrinevaram." It's very nice, a lot of varam. Varam, varo, asam, varam, vrane, varam. Vram, vara, varam, vram. Like this. It's very musical, actually. "Oh, my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your lordship that within the core of my heart there will be no material desires." Because one desire rises in our mind, and then right behind it, there's another desire. You go to the ocean, and where there's good ocean, like in Puri or something, there's one wave coming, and then behind that wave, there's another wave. And it's not. And you say, "Okay, no more waves." No. Waves keep coming. So the mind is like the ocean. It is always tossing, it is always turning, and the tides are rising and falling. Sometimes there's high tides, sometimes there's hurricanes, and sometimes there's typhoons. Huge waves, tidal waves are coming, tidal waves of desire, tidal waves of lust, greed, envy, anger. There's never peaceful. There's never a Pacific Ocean. There's always chinta, disturbance. Because this is Kali Yuga, this is the age of ignorance. You can read in 12th canto about the different yugas and the characteristics. So Kali Yuga has a wonderful description there in 12th canto in the Bhumi Gita, I think it's Bhumi Gita. Then there it's telling the symptom of Kali Yuga is laziness. It says laziness, sleepiness, ignorance, disturbance, anger, fighting. This is the age. So if you're in the water, if you fall into the ocean, then someone sees you, "Oh, you're all wet." And you say, "Well, naturally, I've fallen in the ocean. What do you expect? You expect me to be dry if I'm falling in the ocean?" So if you fall into this cleared ocean today, this ocean of Kali Yuga, then you can expect to have all these good qualities. Laziness, sleepiness, ignorance, anger. So he's saying, he's praying. He said, "You want to give me a benediction? Bless me that I don't have any material desires." All these waves, waves are called manovritti. Vritti means waves, vibration. "Please bless me with this, that these material desires will stop." Because they're like an overlay. It's a real, the desire is only one, but it's manifesting and it's actually overlaid by all these material ambitions. The real desire is to serve Krishna. "That in the core of my heart there will be no material desires." Prabhupada tells, "Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray for benedictions from the Lord." As you were saying, should we pray to the Lord for anything? Is it right? Is it right to pray to the Lord for a devotee child? So, even Lord Chaitanya is praying for benedictions to the Lord. So he's the ideal devotee. Sevya Bhagavan and Sevaka Bhagavan. Sevya Bhagavan is that person, that Supreme Lord who is served. And the Sevaka Bhagavan is the person who serves Bhagavan. Sevaka Sevya. So, as a Sevaka, or Sevak, Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the ideal devotee. Saying, yes, you should pray to Nanda Nandan. You should pray to Jagadish. You should pray to Govinda. I use these names in Shikshastakam. And you should ask for benedictions. What benedictions should you ask? As Prahlad is asking for this benediction, he's saying, Varada, like we say, Apara Siddhi Riddhi Digda. There's one verse in Radhakripa Kataksha that says, Varada, says it, give me a benediction from Radharani. So here he's saying, Dasyasi me kaman varan tvam varada vrishab. And within riddhi, within the asamroham bhavata, there'll be no growth. Within the core of my heart, there'll be no growth of desires for material happiness. Growth, so it says, asamroham, arohapanta, right, going up, avaroha and aroha, asamroham. So Lord Chaitanya was also praying for benedictions, so we can also pray for benedictions. How do we pray for benedictions? We say, oh, Jagadish, oh Lord of this universe, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Nadanana Janana Sundaram Kavidam Bha Jagadisha Kame, Mama Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavatad Bhakti Hoita Gidai. Oh Ishvara, you're the controller, so can you control my mind? Please control my mind. Please control my heart. You're the Ishvara. Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare, Ishvara. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. You're the Supreme Parameshwara Krishna. You can do anything. You can make the possible impossible, the impossible possible. Now please enter my mind and stop the waves of material desire. Please. And how do the material desires take shape? How do they express themselves? As desires for wealth, dharma, art, kam, moksha, nadanam, money, paisa, rupees. Give me the money. Where's the money? Husband, give me the money. Clients, give me the money so I can give the money to my wife. All right. Nadana Najanam, give me followers, give me children, give me fame, name among the people. May the Jana worship me. Nadana Najanam Nasundaram, may I have beautiful things. May I have beautiful clothes and beautiful house and beautiful friends and beautiful wife and husband and beautiful words and beautiful accoutrements and beautiful attainments. Adanana Janana Sundaram Kavitam. And may I always hear nice music and poetical statements. Nadanam, 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 najanam, nasundaram, kavitam va jagadishagami. Oh Jagadish. Kamaye? Jagadish, take away all this calm, all this desire. So Prabhupada, he's seeing this prayer of Prahlad Maharaj, which was, when was this prayer spoken? Prahlad Maharaj's prayer?
After when Narsingadev came and Narsingadev wanted to give benediction.
I know how, but when. But when in what terms of years and how many years ago and what yuga? Satyuga. There's Satyuga, then there's Tretyuga, then Dwaparayankali. So, how many years ago was that?
4,28,000 years is one yuga. So
424.
How's it going?
No. That's 4,28,000. I think it's 4,28. No, I'm confused. Anyway.
32 lakh years was the Satya Yuga. And then 16
lakh... It goes double, that's what it is. Yeah. It's like four, whatever Kali Yuga is. Kali Yuga is 432,000 years, right? I think something like that. 432,000 years. And 5,000 years. So 432 times 2 is 864. Yes. Times 3 is 1 million something. Times 4 is 1 million 6. So it's about 3 million years ago. So Prahlad Maharaj, he prayed like this 3 million years ago. And here we are 3 million years later. And we're still facing the same problems. Material desires. Desire, desire, desire. Calm, lust, greed, envy, anger. illusion. So 500 years ago, and he prayed 3 million years ago, the devotee prayed to the Lord for a blessing. The devotee Prahlad prayed to the Lord Nrisimha for a blessing, for a benediction. Please bless me that these no material desires for material happiness and material desires will not grow in my heart. Then 500 years ago, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, just a moment ago in eternal time, Lord Chaitanya came as the ideal devotee. In Bhakta Avatar, Pancha Tattvakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Surupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. Bhakta Avatar Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhakti Surup Nityananda. And then he prayed also for a benediction. From whom? From Lord Nrisimhadeva? No. But from Jagadish, the Lord of the universe. Right? Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavitam Va Jagadish. O Jagadish. Jai Jagadisha Hari. I want this benediction. No dhanam, no wealth, no followers, no money, no women, no anything attractive, nothing. What do I want? Bhagavad Bhakti. In Prahlad, he's only saying here, just take away the material desires. Lord Chaitanya say, no, this, the negative part of this verse is take away, this is the negative, take away the material desires. But then the positive thing is, give me this. Take away the bad thing and give me something good. What is the good thing? Bhagavad Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti, Radha Bhakti, Gopika Bhakti, Braj Bhakti. Bhagavad Bhakti, Ahoituki. What kind of, just not just Bhagavad Bhakti, because Bhakti can be motivated. Karma Mishra Bhakti, Gyan Mishra Bhakti. Bhakti where one wants Mukti, that's also motivated. Bhukti Mukti Siddha Kami Sakalaya Shanta. This is also a Kami, this is also a desire. One wants Bhukti or Mukti. Even Salokya Mukti, Sarupya, Sharsti, Samipya, these are also motivated. So this is not Ahoituki. This is not Ahoituki Prem. This is not Ahoituki Bhakti. Lord Chaitanya, by saying this, he's saying, take away these material desires and don't give me Vaikuntha Bhakti. There's some motivation there. Somebody wants liberation, they want motivation. Vaikuntha liberation is motivation. But I don't want any motivation. And I don't want mukti. I'm telling, when we say Ahoituki Bhakti, that only means Braj Bhakti. And Braj Bhakti means aprakriti lila. Aprakrit. Prakrit lila. Aprakrit lila and prakat lila and aprakat. Manifest and unmanifest. So he's saying, Nadana Najana Nasindaram Kavitam Bhagadisha Kamaye. O Jagadish, please take away all these material desires from my heart and give me Bhagavad Bhakti. Ahoituki, unmotivated, causeless, pure devotional service in Vrindavan. That's the only place you find pure devotional service without any tinge of touch or tinge of material desire. And then he's saying, and the proof that I want Braja Bhakti is that I don't care about liberation. Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavata, birth after birth. Oh, you're my Ishvara, you're my Prananath, Praneshvara and Prananath. If I take another birth, I don't care. All they want is your devotion. So this is the mood of the gopis. This is the mood of the devotees of Vrindavan. They don't want anything but the happiness of Krishna. So Prabhupada is telling that we can also pray for benediction. We are praying for benediction. Well, every day we recite the Shikshastakam prayers before we chant japa. So it's praying for benediction. Oh my Lord, I don't want any from you any amount of wealth, nor many followers, nor a beautiful wife, for all these are materialistic desires. But if I have to ask for any benediction, I pray that in whatever forms of life I may take birth, under any circumstances, I will not be bereft of your transcendental devotional service. Devotee is on the positive side. He wants to possess something. And this possession is very nicely described by Prahlad Maharaj, who says, if I must take some benediction from you, I pray that within the core of my heart, there may be no material desires. The desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all material. Indriyani mana prana atma dharmo dhritir mati rishris teja smriti satyam yasya nashyanti janmana. Oh, my Lord Nrisimhadev, said Prahlad Maharaj, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth. Can you imagine? beginning of one's birth. So this, now he goes on, he says here in this verse, I want this benediction that there's no material desires. Then this next verse he says, Oh my Lord, in a strange day, because of lusty desires from the very beginning of one's birth, the functions of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness are all vanquished. So he's saying here, from birth, when we take birth in this body, janmana, nashyanti janmana, yasya, these material desires which manifest at birth, they destroy everything. They destroy the senses, the mind. They destroy the senses, indriyani, the mind, mana, the life air, pran, the very self. They destroy religion. In other words, sense gratification, material desires, they destroy dharma, religion. They destroy the patience or dritti. They destroy the intelligence. They destroy shyness. They destroy opulence, wealth. They destroy strength, memory, truthfulness. Everything is destroyed by lusty desires. And this Bhagavatam says, Kamam Ridrogam. That's 10th canto, chapter 33, verse 39. Materialistic life, what does it mean to be a materialist? A materialistic life means that one is afflicted or infected by a formidable disease. What is a disease? It's called lusty desire. Everyone says, Mr. Jones, good morning, how are you? Oh, I'm very fine. How do you feel? Yes, I'm quite fine. Badiya, badiya, bilkul teek. Badiya, badiya, bod badiya. Radharani Kripa, badiya, badiya. Badiya, bilkul. Swast, bod badacha. Kub must hey. Now, very strong, very healthy, acha. But it seems to me that you're diseased. You appear to be diseased. What do you mean I'm diseased? I went to the doctor, I had an executive checkup at Apollo Hospital for 10,000 rupees. They did EKG and XYZ and ABC and Sona and Dona and every kind of graph they can do. Sonograph and Donograph and Phonograph and Phonograph. Phonograph and sonograph and everything they can do. And they said they gave me a ticket of good health. And you're telling me I'm diseased. He said, yes, Mr. Jones, you're suffering from the disease of lusty desires. Oh, sure. Materialistic life means that one is afflicted by a formidable, very formidable means very strong, very powerful, unconquerable disease called lusty desire. Liberation means freedom from lusty desires, because it is only due to such lusty desires that one must accept repeated birth and death, samsara chakra. As long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, one must take birth after birth to fulfill them. Because of material desires, one performs various types of activities and receives various types of bodies with which to try to fulfill desires that are never satisfied. The only remedy, the only solution, or the only remedy is to take to devotional service, which begins when one is free from all material desires. Anya bilashita shunyam. Anya abilashita. Material desire and shunyam, free from. The spiritual soul has spiritual activities and spiritual desires, as described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mama janmani, janmanishvare, bhavatad bhaktir ahoituki twayi. Unalloyed devotional service, unalloyed devotion to the service of the Lord is the only spiritual desire. To fulfill this spiritual desire, one must be free from all material desires. Desirelessness means freedom from material desires. Rupa Goswami calls this anyabhilashita shunyam. As soon as one has material desires, one loses his spiritual identity. Then all the paraphernalia of one's life, including one's senses, body, religion, patience, intelligence, are deviated from one's original Krishna consciousness. As soon as one has material desires, one cannot properly use his senses, intelligence, mind, and so on for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the master of the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. Now there's a verse that follows this. In the first canto, chapter 2, there's a series of verses which are very important because they describe nishchita bhakti, or steadiness in devotional service. What does it mean? What is that level of nishta? Ado shatatata sarasanga bhajanakriya. Right? Nartanivati tato nishta. So this is a very interesting group of verses here. First canto, chapter 2. This is verse. These are quoted so many times to describe the scientific progress of bhakti. This 1, 2, 3, I think it's 4 verses from verse 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. These are very, very important verses to know. That people say, how does bhakti work? How does it work? What is the science of it? What is the cause and effect? What is the proof? You say it's a science of devotional service, bhakti yoga. So what is the, there must be some sequence. A follows B, A, B, C, D. So where does it start? It starts off like this. Because we say, Ado Shatatata Sarasanga. Ado. Ado means Adi. Adi means beginning. So it all begins with Shraddha. And Shraddha, or faith, is developed by hearing. You hear about God, and then Sarasanga, you associate with devotees. And what do you do in Sarasanga? You hear more about God. And by hearing about God, then you become attracted. And when you become attracted, you hear some more. And when you're hearing and practice, when you're hearing about God and becoming attracted, you're associating. When you're hearing about God, that means you're associating with God. Bhagavan Nam, Bhagavan Rup, Gun, Leela. So when you're hearing about God, you're associating with God. And He's Pavitram. He's completely purifying. So when you're hearing about God, then we don't even know how it's happening, but our mind and heart are becoming purified. So you take some medicine. You say, you take this tablet, and your fever will go away. And you don't really know how what happens, but scientists describe, well, this thing has these chemicals here, and they go into your bloodstream, and then they're inhibitors and this and that, and they short-circuit your nerves, your pain nerves, and they figured it out. There's some science behind it. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness, and these are the most important verses from the Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, verses 17, 18, 19, and 20, which describe the scientific sequence of purification of the consciousness. How is consciousness purified? Material scientists, they have their medicines to cure material diseases, and they can describe how they work in a stepwise fashion. First this happens, and then it happens. And then they can show it all on a blackboard or in textbooks. So we can also show it on a blackboard or in textbooks how impure consciousness becomes pure consciousness, how material consciousness becomes spiritual consciousness, how Maya consciousness becomes Krishna consciousness. Shrinvatam swa kata Krishna punya shavana kirtanaha hridyantaksto yabhadrani virunoti sritsatam. 1, 2, 17. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear His messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So we hear, which is the beginning, Ado Shratatata. We have some faith in God. We hear about Him. Then that hearing process Srinvatam, Swakata, Krishna Katha. We hear Krishna Katha, then Punya, it's purifying, it's dharmic, it's religious. And Krishna, what does he do? It says Krishna himself, he's there, Paramatma, he's there. Oh, you're listening, you're hearing about me? Oh, and now I wake up. Before you were just listening to music and disco and mundane sounds and vibrations, and I'm sleeping in your heart. But now you're hearing about me, you're hearing about me means my name, my quality. So is someone speaking about me? Naturally I wake up. I'm interested to hear. What are they saying about me? How are they describing me? How are they listening to me? Listening about me. And once I wake up, then I have to do something. So I see, I woke up, this house is so dirty. I was sleeping in this house. I'm sleeping in this house of your heart. And when you're asleep, you don't know how dirty it is. You're oblivious. You're in another world. You're dreaming. But when you wake up, you say, this house has become so dirty. I've been sleeping here for lifetimes. I've been sleeping in the house of this heart, the house of the heart of this conditioned soul for 1,000 lifetimes. And now he's hearing Bhagavatam. Now he's hearing Gita. Now he's chanting Hare Krishna. And I've woken up by that sound. And when I wake up in the house of his heart, I see how filthy, dirty, abominable it is. It's cluttered. This house is cluttered. There's so much junk here. So much garbage and dirt and dust and mud and gunk and in the form of lust and anger and greed. Let me get to work here. And then Super Soul gets a broom and he starts sweeping. And he starts sweeping the heart and just, ow, jow, jow. And he chases out the lust and greed and cleanses. So that's the first verse of the Lord. Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. This part of the Bhagavatam is described in Shikshastakam, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. And then what happens? Nashta Priyeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So this is Nishtita Bhakti. How does one quickly come to the platform of Nishtita Bhakti? Because the first verse, 1:2:17, said, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. Just hear something about Krishna. Some philosophy, some Kurukshetra Bhagavad Gita, anything. Something about Krishna. Sankhya philosophy, something, anything about Krishna. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. Krishna Kata, hear it. And then Krishna will be pleased. The Super Soul will be pleased. And he'll begin to cleanse your heart. Now he's saying that here every day, Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. Now you're hearing Ado Shadatata, then there's Sarvasanga. When your faith increases and your hearing increases, then you want to be with devotees. And then you serve them and you hear the Bhagavatam. Bhagavat Seva means hearing the Bhagavatam and serving the Bhagavats. And do it, and you start doing it regularly. Then what happens? More clean Nashta Prayeshu. Then, as you do that, and day by day by day by day, all the abhadrani, all the inauspicious things in the heart, which are material desires, they're inauspicious, they produce negative results. They start one by one by one by one, day by day by day by day by day, they become eliminated. The lust goes, the greed goes, the envy, the anger, one by one by one, they go. As you serve and hear and serve and hear and serve and hear, more and more and more. Uttama shloke, then bhaktir bhavati, bhavati means bhavatu. Let it happen. It happens. Nishti, bhakti becomes nishta, becomes very firm. Then, verse 19, Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayaschaye cheta etar anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, in other words, we come to the platform nishta, Then what happens? The effects of the material nature, the material nature's modes of passion, ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then a devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. So this stage of nishta is trinadapi sunichena, taroriva sahishina, amanina manidena kirtaniya sadahari. So then Prabhupada explains in this purport, and then he says that you can understand how much, if you want to measure, he doesn't actually say, but it's on some lectures he said, I can recall, and purports has some other points. But this is how you judge. You can say, have I come to steadiness in devotional service? And if you're steady in devotional service, then you'll be free from lust, and hankering, they will disappear from the heart. This is at the stage of irrevocable devotional service. This means this is the symptoms of nishtha. And then he says, and Prabhupada says you can end this one lecture on this verse. He has given many, many lectures on these verses. You can see in Prabhupada's lectures, he mentions these verses many times. He said, this is the measuring rod. How a devotee can understand, how is he advancing? He said, how am I, is my lust going down? Am I less lusty? Am I less greedy? And if he's not, then he can understand he's not a nishtha, not a nishtha platform. He's still in Narta Nivritti. And he has to increase his hearing and increase his chanting more and more and more so the scientific process can take effect. He said he said the pinching, he uses this word pinching, it's a very nice word because it feels, he said the pinching of the heart when one comes to this platform, the pinching of the heart. So this is the state of ruchi comes after nishtha. And that Lord Chaitanya describes as Nadana Najanam Sundaram. The first one becomes very steady, which means he gets free from, largely free, from lust and greed and envy and desire. And then as taste comes from devotion, not only is he fixed, but taste comes, one thing is to be free from, another thing is lose your taste for something. In other words, the Krishna Trishna, the taste for Krishna increases so much at the level of ruchi, that one, he says, I don't even want any of these things. It's one thing not to have lusty desires, but to still have the want in the core of the heart. When that goes out, at ruchi. So then there's two more verses. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tatra vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in a stage of liberation from all material association. Mukta Sangha Sajayate. So this verse is describing, this is how it goes on, progress of bhakti. Established in the mode of pure goodness. Man is enlivened by the contact with bhakti and he gains positive realization of the Lord. So this again, this is at the state, this is still ruchi and asakti coming. Then last verse is Vidyate ridya grantish chidyante sarvasamshaya shiyante chasya karmani drista evat manishvare. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as the master. That's a sakti. And a sakti is ayananda tanaja kinkaram.
That's a sakti.
You see this. You see that Nanda Nandan, he is the master. And you're the kinkara. So that's, at that point, one is actually basically liberated. Attaining scientific knowledge of the personality of God, it means seeing one's own self simultaneously. That means self means your sarup. As far as the identity of the living being as spirit self is concerned, there are a number of speculations and misgivings. There it goes all about these different things. Krishna says in order to, in Gita, to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of the devotee. That's nice. Krishna switches on the light of pure knowledge within the heart of the devotee. Because the personality of God is taking charge of illuminating the heart of his devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service and transcendental love cannot remain in darkness. So this is at the level of asakti. When one comes to this level, there's no more real darkness. Because after the sakti, there comes bhava, then prema. Devotee cannot remain in darkness, and because the devotee is enlightened by the personality of God, his knowledge is perfect. So this enlightenment perfectly enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter. And all his doubts are cleared off. He sees his master One sees his master and fully engages himself in transcendental loving service of the Lord, making a full termination of the chain of fruit of action. Yes.
When the Lord eliminates the heart with the transcendental knowledge, is it the effect of losing doubts through developing higher taste, or it is just actually knowledge comes?
No, knowledge. You very clearly understand everything. The modes of how the modes of nature are working. What is your relationship with God, and how he's in every atom, how he's controlling and moving everything.
Intuition or knowledge of scriptures, or
that's up to the Lord. In some cases, some devotees they have full knowledge of scriptures, and they can quote all kinds of Sanskrit verses and everything. If the Lord wants them to speak with full support of shastras, they can become a shastra vidvan without even studying any shastras. There are many cases of great devotees and preachers that were empowered by the Lord to speak, and they never studied before. The Lord wanted to use them as instruments, and so they would just become empowered by the Lord. That generally means that they get full knowledge knowledge means you know Krishna, you know yourself, you know your identity, and you engage fully in the service, and there's clear consciousness, there's no doubts, there's no ignorance, there's no loss of connection with the Lord. You're seeing the Lord in everything. You may not be able to quote all the Sanskrit verses, but you're fixed in your eternal identity. So that's the real meaning of knowledge. And eternal identity means to be fixed in the service of the Lord. So that begins at nishtha. One becomes fixed in the Lord, but there may be doubts, maybe lack of, some ignorance may come. But all ignorance is gone. One is at the level of asaktis. Everything's very, very clear. One is feeling and perceiving the presence of the Lord practically all the time. He's always feeling in the presence of the Lord. Krishna Surya Samamaya Andhakar. All the darkness is gone. He's just feeling everywhere the presence of the Lord. That we were hearing that earlier. This is just a higher level nishtha. Devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. He's always qualified, all good qualities, even in nishtha, all good qualities have come to the devotee. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotees are one and the same. We hear about the 26 qualities of a devotee, they automatically come to the devotee. Peacefulness, tolerance, freedom from fault finding, all these good qualities. So these verses in the Bhagavatam, this is the, because we heard from Prahlad Maharaj, he was praying for the benediction, become free from material desires, and especially, then we heard how he said that, especially lust destroys everything, and even lust is with us from birth. At the time of birth, lust is with us and it destroys everything, our life, our energy, our opulence, our shyness, everything. Now, what's the solution? Because not all of us get Sakshat Darshan on the Sringadeva and get to ask for a benediction, as Prahlad did in the seventh canto. But in the first canto, everyone can follow this scientific process. Step one, step two, step three. Shrimvatam Sakata Krishnam. Then Nasaprasya Bhadreshu. Hear Krishna Kata. Read Bhagavatam, study Bhagavatam every day, serve the devotees, then all these things will happen. Passion and ignorance will go out of the heart. And what is passion? Passion is greed. What is ignorance? Ignorance is lust. So the proof that passion and ignorance are going out of the heart is how much we're free from lust and greed. It says Raja and Tama. So this Harikata and this Sadhusanga and Sadhuseva destroys ignorance and passion. They become fixed in goodness. When you become fixed in goodness and manas, prasanna manasa, prasanna man, the mind becomes peaceful and happy, and you engage in more bhakti yoga, then what happens? You get bhagavat tattva vigyan, you get realization of Krishna, then mukta, you get liberated. Then the hard knot in the heart, then all the maya's attachment, your connection attachment to maya becomes broken. Then you start to see your swarup, If you go from Nishta to Ruchi to Asakti, and then at that point everything is downhill from there. It's home free, Sakti Bhava Prem. So these are key verses from Bhagavatam to study and for preaching also. The sequence is there.